Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It is the Thursday edition, right? It's not the Tuesday edition? Just want to make sure I'm not messed up on my days again. Edition. The Tausch always accuses me of trying to get him other jobs, like I want to get rid of him. But given that they both are considered brilliant football minds, since they both had the same read on the Lions last week, etc., etc., are we in danger of losing Mark Tauscher?
We were wrong. We were both wrong, true. Too.
Of losing him to be the new University of North Carolina offensive line coach under his close personal friend and great football mind, Bill Belichick edition. I can't wait for this. Do we have the questions or just the answers from the new OC? Because I want to hear the questions. I want to hear how concise and to the point they are from the interviewer, as opposed to perhaps if he espoused some of my style.
I'll say this.
Long-winded.
If we're going in comparison to, I feel really good about where I'm at compared to, and it's, you do a great job, Jason. I've said that many times.
Thank you.
But I do think I'll be more concise.
It's a low bar, but it's all about the answers edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. Don't forget, you can always find the podcast form of this show where you get your favorite podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, but not Stitcher, RIP. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location. No contact lenses today, huh, there, Jesse?
Nope, slept in them last night. Whoops.
Yeah. Well, you've been overworked. You're tired. We get it. Always well-rested, always sunshiny. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Quick question for you, and this is not a partner, so I'll not be giving away the name of said sub place. I'll just let you know it was a sub place.
Is it ever a quick question
subs.
For us?
That's a very fair response. Yeah, that's fair.
Do if they sell you potatoes? Go and you accumulate points, if you accumulate back in the old days stamps,
sure,
whatever that might be, because the Elaine Bennis where you have to eat 25 bats to get a free sub. Like, there's something, there's a reason reward points works.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Because you get points and it builds brand loyalty.
No doubt.
So, as often is the case, I head over and there's a spot that one of my children really likes. And after a long, hard day of work, practice, et cetera, et cetera, I get a sub. And we've accumulated a lot of sub points. So I get in line, and there is a mother with a young child. She orders three subs. And the dude asks her, do you have a rewards account? And she's like, no, I don't. Okay. So is it IPT? I am right behind her paying. Is it IPT for me to say, well, I'll take her 3 points or her three sandwich points? Because otherwise they just go by. What's the matter with me saying, I don't want to waste. Like, if I am not, I'll give you a great example. I go to a casino. I don't want that information. I don't want my information to a casino. I'm not interested in getting a card. Hey, you want a card? Even though I'm an idiot because, especially when I was out at the Badger Desert points. Classic, Lord knows I would have gotten my buddies that I went out with are getting, we're getting to fly out to Tahoe and all these other places because we got our brakes beat in and they were on the rewards points. I didn't. So I would always tell the pit boss, can I give if I'm playing, if I put a couple $100 down, can we? And they don't let me do it.
Of course not.
What's the matter? Is it IPT for me to say to this young, and the lady had left. I said, well, I'll take her three sandwich points because otherwise they're gone. And they're like, no, we don't do that. I'm thinking to myself, well, this could be a differentiator. You could, in the holiday spirit, gift those points, those things. And whether it's at a different blue-roofed place or any of these spots, I think this should be something that we think about doing. And if a business does it, I think you're going to see, Justin McCoy, I'm going to give you, here you go, baby. I think this is something we should implement at Cousin Subs. I do.
Okay. Couple things. First of all, as always, you are a stable genius. However, I have a confession to make. I have had this exact same thought standing in line at Fleet Farm. Because at Fleet Farm, every single time I'm in line or if I get gas, whatever it is, the person in front of me, are you a member of our rewards program? No.
No, and I respect, listen, man, we love Quick Trip Rewards. I am signed up. I'm rolling with it.
Put
I love
my number
it.
In every
Fleet
time.
Farm. We both love Fleet Farm.
Yes.
So I am not saying I totally understand why people don't want to do it, too. I get it.
I don't.
If you're a frequent member.
I don't.
Well,
it's not
because
like a casino.
You get all. I know, but you get subscriber lists. There's stuff. I understand
texts.
It. If you're out in California and there's a Safeway grocery and they say, well, if you sign up, you get this. No, because it's not going to be worth it. But if you're doing this on a daily, I would never sign up for a sub club, whatever they want to call it. I wouldn't. But it got to the point where it's like, I'm an idiot because I'm just throwing money out down the trash can.
Right.
So, all right, let's sign up and let's knock this out.
Right. So I don't understand, again, Fleet Farm, it's so easy to rack up the points and get your $5 Fleet Bucks. You're a fool if you don't sign up. You do have to give them your phone number. You do get some text messages. They do not sell your information. There's a part in the agreement where it says we will not sell your information. So it's there's really no downside.
You read the full agreement? You read the full agreement?
I did. I'm sorry.
You need a hobby, bro.
I do. Very fair. Nobody reads the terms.
Don't tell me you read your cell phone. Do you read your cell phone provider subscription and all that too?
Not lately. So I did when I first signed up for Verizon though. Unfortunately, the Blue Roof Place, which I don't think you're referring to as IHOP, does not have a rewards program because that would actually be nice. I wish they did, given how much one of my children likes to eat there. But the question I have is, would the juice be worth the squeeze? Because it is IPT. There's no incentive for the business to give you more points to your free sub for someone else.
It's not. How often does it happen? Like, how often, if you're not going at lunch,
it happens to me at Fleet Farm all the time. I don't know
who these
people are that aren't in the rewards program, but I always want to jump in and say, let me type in my number then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I'm with you.
But okay. I understand why the business doesn't want to do that for you. My question is, I don't
what
know how
close.
What if
we just did it during December? What if it was
make
just
it a
December
to remember
holiday season
giveaway?
I am going to gift you
points.
This, and here's a sandwich, or here's a salad, or whatever it would be.
Here's the question that I have to ask before we move forward. I don't know where you are on your points, and what Eleanor ordered or Max ordered last night at the sub shop. But would the juice be worth the squeeze to pick up the tab for young mom and her child's subs to also get the points to then
yes.
get the free sub? Would it have been worth it to, in the holiday spirit, say, hey, I understand you don't have the rewards. I do. I'd like your points, but just in the holiday spirit, I'm going to pay for your subs.
Yes. Well, no, because I think this. yes, it's a great thing to do. But I think it can't be – I don't think you want to be externally motivated by that. That shouldn't be it.
Well,
it should
I'm
just
asking
be,
if you would
–
would you make out on that, or would you still end up in the minus category?
No, you'd lose. You'd
right?
lose, but it would
so
be less
it.
Of a loss. No, it would be – I mean, depending on how you look at it. There were times that I thought this was really cool, and I didn't know – this was 5-6 years ago when we were, you know, really courting this certain partner – potential partner, and you'd be in a drive-thru, and someone would pay in front of you, and then it was a fun little deal. And
yeah.
I paid for the group behind. You don't know what – you'd have no idea what they ordered. So it
right.
could be $22. It could be $120. You just don't know. But it was a fun little deal. And then I found out later from some people that work at this place that it's a huge pain in their tuchus
yeah,
that you
it
do
is.
It this way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So – this way is a little bit different. I don't necessarily know. I get it. I think from a business standpoint, you don't want to be throwing free points around. But let's be honest. It takes like 10 subs to get a free like kids sub. It's not like they're firing these.
Right.
It's not
so
like
it's
the
not
old days. Remember the old place where they would have a ring and you'd like spin the coupons out and then they'd tape them to your card? I'm not going to tell you what the name of it is. It's the longest established sub joint. It's been all the place. But I can just remember my mom, we'd go up to Marshfield, and we'd get a load of these deals, and then they'd just fire these tickets at you, and you'd have to, like a baseball, you'd have to lick
like
them and
lick
put
the
them
stamps?
On the thing, and then you'd bring the cart. Yes. Yeah. That's fun.
I don't remember that. I didn't go to the big city of Marshfield for my subs. I wasn't aware of that. So, ultimately, how far away are you? Because I do want to get a plug in for our partner, Cousin Subs. You rack up the points pretty good, pretty quick. And they have like special days
yep.
where it's double points day.
Yeah,
that's always
we need
a
to get
highlight.
Them over, we need to get them over on the west side of Madison, too. I know they have a great spot in Sun Prairie. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's. I think this is something. I'm going to pitch Justin on this. I think we could do a December to remember type deal.
Justin McCoy, our friend, our VP of marketing over at Cousin Subs, is listening going, yeah, that's a great idea, Tausch. Let's see if we can give away more free subs to people after people who don't join our rewards club don't get the points. We'll just give
no,
them
no,
away
no.
to other
I'm
people.
In the – whoa, whoa. I am in that because we're a – for
right.
whatever reason,
I know
we are
you're
a sub-eating
a member.
Crew.
I
yeah.
know you're a member.
But you're
smart
giving
that
it,
way.
You're not giving it away. And actually what this would probably do – and why I think this works for the business. A, it's going to be great for your existing customers. But it's also going to, like, if I'm this gal,
here.
Like, if I had done this in front of her and said, oh, I'll take your points. I can't do that. I just went to the cashier. But all of a sudden, that gal's probably like.
Because you know it's sketchy.
No, I thought it was IPT. 100%. Yeah, hand
okay,
up. I told
right.
you that in the
okay,
beginning.
Good. All right, just want to make sure.
But it also will probably, like, if I'm that lady with the kid and ordering these subs, I'm probably thinking, why am I not a member? Old boy wants, why wouldn't I be a member?
Yeah,
so you're actually
true.
Hiring salespeople to sell your card to them by doing it this way.
Sure.
And it's not,
yeah.
you know, it's organic. It is beautiful. Yeah, and that's not pressure. It's just like, man, I'll tell you what, I've had like 15 free subs because I signed up for this club, blah, 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 blah.
So why did you choose to wait until the young mom left to bring up the idea of taking her points as opposed to doing it in front of her, which would have executed your idea of being basically a free salesperson unpaid for that sub shop.
I hadn't thought through the whole thing, and I would have not even thought of it. I mean, I've literally been at this place 100 times, and I've never thought of this whole process. And then
how many free subs have you gotten?
Not enough. I can tell you that, not enough. When you go, and after the cashier was like, oh, you want to sign up? You'll have whatever amount of points. And it was, no, I'm good. That's when I started wondering, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, now I start thinking, I do think you should say that to him. Well, if you don't want them, I do think, and Dennis and Plover's right, if you paid for the sandwiches, no doubt. I don't know. I'm going to ask. I'm going to go in. I have another trial run, probably Monday or Wednesday of next week. I will run this through, and I will buy the sandwiches, and I'll report back if they give me the points. That is a great idea.
That's the season of giving right there. That is Wilde and Tausch bringing people together over sub sandwiches and rewards clubs. All right. I have another IPT question briefly because you mentioned in a trip to my memory bank. You get like a free kid sub potentially, not a real full-fledged sub. Is it IPT to order a kid's meal as an adult? Is that also on the IPT list, or is that perfectly legal? Even though it's supposed to be for 12 and under.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Jesse?
None.
Not a problem at all. We did it on Tuesday night.
Okay.
There you go.
Good. I feel better about my own choices now.
In fact, we went to a certain establishment that may or may not have been referenced already on this show, and one of us got a kid's meal and one of us got a regular meal, and we compared the sizes, and they were very similar.
Oh, burn.
Did it have a blue roof?
Might have.
I'll tell you what. Max has gotten, so we got Max a phone, which that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, boy. That'll be a good off-season topic.
And there are so many fast food hacks that it is a rabbit hole you can't stop.
What?
Going down.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It is. Like, all of these different restaurants, you can do all these deals and then figure out ways to hack. They call them hacks. I don't know. I'm going to start going down this rabbit hole, and I might start doing digi-only fast food hacks like this young influencer
does. Love it. Yes. Tausch's takeout hacks.
Tausch versus the man.
Well, I don't even know who's the man.
Big fast food.
Here's all the loopholes you need to get your value meals even cheaper.
Old T's loophole on Wilde and Tausch, digi only. There are no loopholes, just great deals from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. Ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. And yes, old Santa Claus, he is magical, but his elves are not. Boy, that's so harsh. But
I don't understand why they say that about the elves.
Why are we taking out the elves that?
Well, because
what do they do?
The bottom line is you're building a high-quality product. You don't want some little elf screwing up the screws and not getting everything done right. You got to have Pella windows and doors. There's just too many options and customizations for those poor little elves. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this Pella deal. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends December 31st. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
Isn't the big red fella, he's basically just the delivery guy, right? He takes the orders and he delivers them. The elves are the ones that do all the work. They're the ones making the bikes and the toys that the kids are getting. I think the elves are getting a bad rap here. Next time Alex Della swings by the house here, I'm going to ask him if he'd consider hiring some more elves.
The magical big red fella is like the figurehead.
He's running a sweatshop.
He's taking the credit for what everybody else is doing?
Maybe.
Dang. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wow. I guess I know what list I'm on now.
Gutsy move.
Do we know what's the deal with? Is it Sneaky Pete?
I just remember as a kid. What's the deal with Sneaky Pete? What?
Well, that's coming up next. Yeah, Sneaky Pete. We've had this discussion every year at Christmas. I just remember going over in grade school, Sneaky Pete came, and I just remember Sneaky Pete had a whip. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Sneaky Pete was Saint Nick?
I'm going to text. It's my older brother, and I don't know. He works, so he's a podcaster.
He works.
So I don't know. Maybe my mom, if you remember, send me a text about Sneaky Pete at Auburndale Elementary back in the mid-'80s. Something goofy happened with Sneaky Pete, and I don't know if Sneaky Pete is just a – I don't know if that's a standard character in the Christmas scene or if this was a one-off.
No one here has heard of him.
We might be unlocking something we don't want to here.
We'll find out more, even if we don't want to, about Sneaky Pete. Look, I don't want to get too sidetracked here because you had an interview with Jeff Grimes, the new offensive coordinator for the Badgers, that is very interesting, and I would like to get to that sometime after the legend of Sneaky Pete, which could be next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This fire is nice.
Well, I'm not making a lot of progress in my search for the Christmas legend of Sneaky Pete.
Yeah, I have not gotten any texts either yet, so either my mom is not listening or she doesn't have a clue what Sneaky Pete's all about.
Apparently there's some sort of show in the Dells, Sneaky Pete's Christmas show. Apparently an offshoot of Sneaky Pete's Wild West show.
If there's whips involved, I don't know if I want to go to that.
It's not my kind of place.
Again, my memory is not always perfect, as you guys point out to me on a regular basis, but I just recall something of that ilk.
So we'll continue to do some research. Hopefully Helmut or Diane will get back to us on this, because I'm not going to lie, my interest is piqued. Like, I'm familiar with St. Nicholas and his arrival every December 5th. Certainly the big red guy, sweatshop owner of the North Pole.
The his elf arrival on the shelf? Is that like what Sneaky Pete is?
No.
It's a great question. No, that's the like next that one I was going to list, Jesse.
It's a
thank
fair
you
question, but it's nothing like that at all.
It has some overtones that I'm not especially comfortable with, I have to say.
Sneaky Pete?
Yeah, it just sounds dirty.
Just from what we've heard thus far.
It just does. It just does.
Hey, your mind can be in a gutter. That's fine.
Doesn't
mean everybody else has to join you.
It doesn't sound childlike. It
doesn't sound as family friendly as Rudolph is all.
Maybe it was just Pete. I don't know. Maybe he just was, I don't know. I'm going to try to gather information, and if I get some, I will pass it back to you.
And by
I thought this was a thing back in the 70s and 80s.
And by try to gather information, what you mean is wait for texts from your mom and your brother.
Correct.
Okay. So this is what happens on this show. We were going to talk about Bill Belichick going back to college by taking over as the head football coach at North Carolina. But instead, we got Sneaky Pete. Sneaky Pete's is definitely a bar in New Orleans. I believe it's right
Mike, is Green Bay going to be down there? Is Jason going to be able to go to Sneaky Pete's as the Packers are tussling in the Superdome down there in February? I can't imagine Jason ever going to Sneaky Pete's. But
no, I go to the old absentee house. I think it's still there.
Oh.
All right, I want to get to this because I am intrigued. Because, first of all, some news, which I don't know if I've ever seen this in the transfer portal era. Tell me if I'm wrong. How many times does someone enter the transfer portal and transfers to the school that they were transferring from? Tretch Kekahuna, after tweeting out all the offers he got, returns back to Madison and will be a Badger once more. Tausch, I took this as, Well, this Jeff Grimes guy, I like the sound of what his offense is going to be. The offers I got from these other schools did not appeal to me as much as playing at Wisconsin again, and I'm back, baby. I just took this
That's
as
how
a
you took it?
I took it as
That's
a tacit.
How you took it?
Yeah, how do you take it?
I take it as maybe the offer got upped. That's how I would take it. Now, I don't know that.
Oh, I wanted to believe
I think this
it was
portal
more football
is
related.
This portal is being utilized by players to increase their value. That's what this is being done. That's why people are going in the portal. And it's not just, oh, it's a bad fit. Sometimes coaches
like
will
holding
say to the player,
out? Like Al Harris holding out during the
well,
offseason?
Of course. Are you faking naivete?
No, I'm not. I really
come on, dude.
I really am this naive.
No, I don't think
one,
you are. I honestly, as you were saying that, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm sure Jeff Grimes, who's a nice fellow, I'm sure he came in and said, we're going to do this. Now, that is always going to be a part of things, but come on now. You're 30 years into this.
Well,
I'm not
30 years into the NIL era.
Yes,
I'm
but Jason,
thinking,
the NFL
no,
and why the Belichick move, it is becoming the NFL.
You're 100% right to criticize me for my naivete.
Do you buy that Jason's that naive? He's like Robert Hirschevec on Shark Tank. That's what that reminded me
of. Yeah, we're in the bowl season now. He still loves the bowl games. He loves the integrity
of
college
sports. That's
true. He's
a bowl fest guy. That is true.
So I believe he
point.
Actually...
Thank you, Jesse. I totally fell for
you
the banana
really
too,
believe
I did.
That Jason
I swear,
didn't put two and two
to
together.
God, I did not until okay. you said the offer was upped. That never entered my mind. I swear to you. And that's a critique
Jason,
of me.
I might be
that's
wrong.
That's pathetic.
I might be wrong, but I ain't.
I don't think, like, there's nothing wrong. Every year, why wouldn't a college football player at the end of a season put their name in the transfer portal?
We have to do something about this.
Here's the deal. Because if you do, the team can then, and all of a sudden, as happens to many portal kids, you can go through, and there's a lot of Wisconsin Badgers on this list that you end up going somewhere. You don't get the offers that you think you're going to get. You know? So there's a risk factor that goes into going into the portal.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Tretch felt like, and he had a bunch of other teams offering him and all this other stuff. So you have to know kind of your value and where you're at. And there's a lot of guys that just want to get their fair market value where they're at. So that's why you wouldn't, Jesse. But I get anytime you can assert leverage when it comes to negotiating, you better do it. And I think that's what this is. That's what we're noticing and learning in this new era of college football that I think a lot of people just flat out don't like.
So I didn't actually know it worked this way. So, like, Braden Locke goes into the transfer portal yesterday. So Braden Locke goes into the portal, and if the only offer he gets is for a couple of pennies from Maine, he can't just say, you know what, never mind, I'm going right back to Wisconsin where I was doing my thing. He, like, it's out, and he has to renegotiate everything.
Deuces.
Huh.
Deuces.
Yeah. So then Tretch decides, I don't like these offers.
No, Jason, just think through. Do it in a day. What do you think happens? Come on.
Well, it was more than a day. He was out there for a little while.
Yeah, it was like a day and a half. Maybe.
He's tweeting
obviously,
all the logos.
There's always stuff leading up to things, right. And I'm sure you get your representatives to put that. So I'm just amazed that you've covered the NFL for 30 years, and you are shocked.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
I am shocked there's gambling in this casino.
This establishment. Yeah.
Well, what is that? That's from Casablanca, right?
Casablanca, yes. Well done. All right. First of all, the NFL doesn't work this way because the NFL has contracts. I can't say in the second year of my contract. Right, I understand. And that, in my defense, you know, Jordan Love can't say, "Yeah, thanks for the $55 million,
but he could say, "But Jason, he could say, I ain't stepping on the field in July until I get a new deal."
Right, he can do that. What he can't do
that's
is
what
is,
in essence
is,
these guys
no,
are doing.
He can't negotiate with other teams, and then when he doesn't get what he wants, come back to the Packers.
That's
the problem here.
True.
And my naivete notwithstanding, they have to do something. Because while I am happy for Tretch, and I like him as a player, and it's great if this is the case, and it wasn't just, woo, I love this RVO offense, I'm coming back. It's great if he got a little more scratch. This is not the way, this should not be the way you could do it. You should not be able to opt out every year, if this is the case, to up your ante from the team that you are already on. You just shouldn't be able to do it. There should be contracts now. Let's just, if we want to make it like the NFL, you got the greatest coach in NFL history now in college football, which I'm a little confused by because, of course, Belichick's going that direction when all these other head coaches are heading into pro ranks to get away from the nonsense that is
this. I had
this.
A great couple of quotes on Rutledge and Hamilton yesterday that I think cover this
from you?
Really good. Yes.
I had a
it's called Jim, Matt, and Molly, for the record. I know Molly's not there, but Jim, Matt.
Oh, Jim, Matt, Molly. That's my bad.
Quarter in the jar.
All right.
I'll give you a quarter. Can I get your points?
Only at certain establishments. All right. I want to hear what Barry Alvarez thinks, and then I want to hear this conversation that Tausch had with Jeff Grimes. I'm sure he touched on, hey, guys believe in your system. Look at this. Already Tretch Kekahuna is coming back. But before we do that, I want to remind you that if you need to make the call, make the call. I hope you never have to. I hope Gruber Law Offices never gets a call from you because that means you've never been injured in an accident. But if you have been and you need legal representation, there's only one call to make to Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, Gruber-Law, to find out more about the firm and about everything David does in our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We'll talk a little bit, with my naivete notwithstanding, about the Badgers' new-look offense and some thoughts on that. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing, our bushels of fun.
So I've got a buddy who played at camp.
Oh, jingle bell, jingle
his daughter
bell,
and Sydney are friends. And then he's also a big Badgers fan, and I saw him at basketball over the weekend. And he
Grimes' his kid plays there, too. Big kid.
6'6". Wait, what?
Yeah.
Grimes' kid plays where?
Grimes' kid plays at Kansas. Offensive lineman.
And is he entering the transfer portal now that his dad is going to Wisconsin?
He left his son to go be the coach here?
Hey, sometimes you got to let, you can't, not everybody can be hovering. Let your kids breathe. Go play.
So I guess I don't want you to put your friend's business on the street, but Jackson Eck is a really good football player. I'm guessing that there are some teams in the FBS that would be happy to pay him to go play elsewhere. Would he leave his dad at Idaho to come and
for
make
the
some
right money? Absolutely, he would. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you? No, Jason. It's all about just football. It's not about money and all the other stuff. Nope. Just about ball. Like.
Playing with for your dad?
Old Hurchy.
Playing for your dad.
I'm not gonna say anything else.
Let's just get to what Barry Alvarez thinks about this hire for the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Anyway, my point was, and for the Badgers, I'm sorry, I say the Packers all the time. My point was, and he and I both know Lance Leipold. He is my friend who went to Kansas is torn because he believes Jeff Grimes is a really good coach and it's going to be really good for Wisconsin's offense, but he would also like him to have stayed at his alma mater as opposed to just the school that he roots for because he's born and bred Wisconsinite. So he gave it a very good review at basketball over the weekend, and I'm curious what kind of review Barry Alvarez gave it on the Great Dane Huddle earlier this week.
Well, the two things fired me up, and you just said them. he's got a run game background, and he's got an O-line background. Those historically have been the strength of our program. We've won here, and we've put ourselves on the map in college football because of our run game and our offense, and led by our offensive line. So when I heard that, I was really excited. And that doesn't mean he has to run every snap, but a lot of the snaps he has to run. But I'm really excited about it. I don't know him personally. I read the resume. I like the numbers that he's put up where he's been.
That is.
He doesn't have to run on every snap, but he's got to run on a lot of them. What did you think of Barry's assessment?
There's been some critique of Barry and how outspoken he's been, and obviously disappointed. You just know that it's coming from a place of a ton of pride and a ton of love for this school and what he built. And I think he was, we've played a bunch of his clips with Derek and Tark, and I think he understood and understands what has worked here in the past, and I think he thinks that that's the best way moving forward. And when you're looking at this hire, there is no doubt it is going to look different. To what degree, I don't know, because even in my interview with Jeff Grimes, it was kind of tough because he literally had been here a day. So he doesn't know all the personnel. He obviously is going to have his philosophies and his ideas on what he wants, but I'm guessing he wants to go and, jump in, watch a ton of film, and see what is going to be in the best interest of moving it. But he's an old lineman at heart, and there is no doubt that's the road. He's very clear, and you'll hear the interview coming up. He's very clear that running an offense, doesn't matter, guns, under center, if you can run the football, everything else is going to work. And if you can't, it's going to make things really difficult. And I think that's his starting threshold. And there's no doubt Barry Alvarez, that is how he looked at it, even to a more degree than what obviously we've seen in the last couple of years.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear the conversation. I only have one question. When the interview was over, were you thinking, like Tito Beverage and Tito's Vodka, pour me in, coach, on this new offense?
You'll have to wait and see, but I'll say this. I was very excited after listening to what Coach Grimes had to say. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit, stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your heart desires. You're calling the game. You change up your roster, wash that lucky jersey, as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com, crafted to be savored responsibly.
He got the first exclusive one-on-one interview with the new offensive coordinator. I'm not sure how he got it. Maybe there might have been a little bit of a connection there. I'm not sure. But he's the one who got the scoop, and we will hear it from the radio analyst's mouth. Is the interviewer going to join us, or are we just stuck with you?
What do you guys want?
I don't want you on your phone again.
Maybe let's get him closer to the championship game, I think. Curious for his insights then.
I think we could probably get a hold of the analyst, and I think he could jump on post, give a little
recap. Busy. No, from what I hear, he's too busy trying to track down the legend of Sneaky Pete's Christmas.
Sounds like I must have been on some kind of a retreat, because nobody knows has any clue what the hell I'm talking about. So, my bad.
Well, that's reassuring.
Rogers
must
might
have been
know.
One of those ayahuasca retreats. I missed out. That's right.
Enigma.
I saw that. I don't know.
The story of Mark Tauscher and Sneaky Pete's. Mark Tauscher and Jeff Grimes are next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Before we play any of the, now this is just a portion of your otherwise lengthy conversation
with
him.
I don't know. So we had probably 15 to 20 minutes. Obviously,
okay.
It was kind of his welcome day. He had to do pictures and all this other stuff. So
pictures.
I don't know. Well, yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Did you get your picture taken with him?
Rolling out. No, I didn't. Okay. Well, yeah, I did. Jesse just put it up. The rolling out, but they put the Wisconsin football put up, I think, 8 minutes or 8 or 9 minutes on their website.
Okay.
And, you know, then I basically asked, well, can we run the rest of it? Because there's some other stuff that I found really interesting about the quarterback position, about his coaching staff and all of the other stuff that I think a lot of Badger fans and Wisconsin sports fans would find really interesting. So I don't know if we got all of that, but Jesse, I think you got all the most of it. I think we got the vast majority of what it is, and I think our fans will find it really interesting.
So, Jesse, how much of this conversation are we actually playing?
This is the full extended cut per Tausch's request. This is the whole deal. So we got 14 minutes to sit in and sit back and enjoy from the Badgers radio analyst.
Does Tausch swear at any point, like I had in an interview or two, where you had to change the... You had to bleep it out or delete it from my audio.
I hope not, because I did not preview the entire thing. So I'm going to hear some of this for the first
shocking.
Time along with you.
That's very shocking that you didn't. Yeah,
shock value.
You're playing it basically blind?
Yeah, he has no idea.
I'm just an old T.
There's nothing looked at. Yeah, it's a hell of an operation we got going here.
Okay.
With that, let's run the tape.
All right, here we go. Here is Mark Tauscher, Badgers radio analyst, with new Badgers offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes.
Welcome to Coach Jeff Grimes. We're excited to have you. I guess the first question, what attracted you to come to Wisconsin?
I guess just the history, the tradition of this place, and it being a place that I think kind of fits me and what I've always believed in terms of football. Coach Fickell, who I didn't know prior to this time, made a strong appeal to who I am as a coach and what's going on here and the direction that the program is headed. And so I think it was, I guess, sort of a confluence of those two things, the history and the past and the tradition and just sort of the blue collar gritty attitude that's made Wisconsin football what it is, combined with Luke and his personality and his vision for making the program even more that.
So what was that first conversation like with Luke?
Interesting, because, you know, if you're in this business, you know of people often, even if you don't know them. You know, we talked a little bit, and as we got to know each other a little bit, I think we both realized before long that it seemed like we aligned philosophically in terms of the game. But one thing I really appreciated, you know, any conversation like that, there's the mandatory small talk up front, right? Hey, I don't know you, you know me, you know this guy. And then there was a brief pause. And then I thought, okay, he's about to go for it here. You know, he's going to start digging into me as a coach and find out what I'm about. And instead, he said, tell me about your family. And, oh, yeah, my wife too. And, oh, yeah, me too with our kids. And so there was a personal touch there that I really appreciated.
Tell us a little bit about your family, because everybody wants to know more about what, you know, what makes you tick.
Certainly my family is a big part of that. My wife and I have been married for 30 something years. I know I should know, but I got
30 and some
32, 32. All right. 32 years. She was an athlete in college as well. As a matter of fact, she played volleyball at Texas A&M. And so she's the real athlete. I just tell most people I contributed size to the gene pool. But she's been awesome. She's an unbelievable coach's wife and gets athletics and at times is even more competitive maybe than I am. It has been great to just be with me, not just with me, but in this with me all along the way. I mean, she's always been one that's, made food for the players, enjoyed having them over to the house and all that. And then four kids, oldest daughter, Bailey. My wife's name is Sherry. Oldest daughter is Bailey, who played college volleyball, just like my wife, is now teaching in her first year as a teacher and club volleyball coach. I've got two sons who play college football. My oldest son is about to graduate from Baylor. He's been a long snapper there. And then my youngest son, who was probably destined to be an offensive lineman most of his life, but fooled himself into thinking he might be a defensive lineman or tight end for a while. And then when he got to college at University of Kansas, we moved him to offensive tackle. And so he's redshirting and learning how to zone step and pass set and all that kind of stuff. And then we have a daughter who's a sophomore in high school, Jada, who is also a volleyball player.
Kind of want to get the scouting report on how you evaluate your kid at Kansas. That might be, we'll do that another time. So what's your basic philosophy about offense?
Well, I think identity is a huge thing. You know, whether you're talking about a person, I mean, there are things that if somebody said, hey, describe Tausch to me, somebody tell me about Mark, what's he all about? And they would start talking about your personality and who you are. The same thing should be true of an organization, a company, a church, or an offense. And so I think it's a great question to start with. I'd like to say that if people watched us, they would see a tough physical brand of football that is balanced in a number of different ways. And balance can mean a lot of different things. It can mean the difference between run pass, running inside versus running on the perimeter, short to intermediate passing game versus the vertical passing game. But to me, more than anything, it's just maintaining an unpredictability. If the defense feels like we might do any number of things in any situation, then I feel like we've maintained the advantage that the offense should have, right? So that means if it's 3rd and 10 and we run the football, then we're taking the game back into our hands in terms of being unpredictable. If it's 4th and 1 and we'll actually throw the ball deep, then again, it gives us the opportunity, I think, for the best success possible. So when I talk about balance, that's what I talk about. And so, I don't want receivers to feel like, hey, this guy's an O-line guy and all we're going to do is run the football. You know, I want them to be really excited about what we're going to do in the throw game too. And, you know, if you're good, one of the things I always say, and I'm sure you feel this way too, if you can run the football, then you can do anything. Mm-hmm. If you can run the football, then everything else is going to work. If you can't run the football, then you become one-dimensional. And so I think that's where it starts, is running the football and establishing an identity that is based on that and a rugged mentality about how you're going to do it. Once you establish that, then the vertical passing game comes to life, and then receivers will get excited about that.
Not getting into all the weeds of it, but tight ends, fullback, is it going to be more under center? Is it, how do you view, I know you just got here, but just kind of your initial philosophy on that?
I think it depends on your personnel, what those guys do best. There have been times in the last few years where we've been under center a fair amount, and then there have been times where we weren't under center much at all, and that depends on a number of factors, more than anything, the quarterback and what he's most comfortable doing. And I think there are a lot of advantages to getting under center, but you give away some things as well. Take away some of the things that might be threats otherwise. 12 personnel, yes. 13 personnel, yes. 10 personnel, yes. I don't like to use the term pro style because that carries with it a certain mindset, just like air raid or spread does. I would say we're an NFL style offense. We play like most NFL teams do. And so if you watch Sunday football, we will look more like that than what we will probably most college teams look like. And so that means a variety in terms of personnel groups, a variety in formations, a lot of presentation, pre-snap shift and motion that hopefully provides an advantage for us.
And you've had a little bit, just your history, Andy Reid, Mike Sherman, who I have a deep appreciation for. You're an O-line guy, and this is a school that takes a lot of pride in its offensive line. What have you kind of learned a little bit about from the offensive line part, and then how much of that, I'm assuming, is going to be a key piece to how you do implement your offense?
Well, hopefully that's where everything starts. And, you know, what I always tell our linemen is, you're the key to all this working. And most coordinators, most play callers, especially in the college game, and this is a recruiting ploy that works with offensive linemen, right? But Most of those guys think of you as an afterthought, you know, just let me do my thing with all the skill guys and, you know, get the ball to our playmakers in space and you guys just don't screw it up. And I look at it just the opposite. Whatever we can do up front will allow us to have success. And the ability for those guys to do their job gives everybody else a chance to do theirs. And, you know, I've moved a bunch of times in this profession and I think about it like this often. You know, when a moving company, you know, typically a school move our family for us. And so a moving company comes in and, you know, there's people everywhere doing all kinds of stuff. And then at some point, somebody's got to move the couch or somebody's got to move the refrigerator, right? And so, hey, John, Jimmy, come here. No, y'all got to move this because there's only two guys in the moving crew who are qualified to do that thing, right? To do the heavy lifting. And there's only two guys who can do that. All the other guys can do a lot of other things, and those guys could do those things too, but they have a special skill set that allows them to do something different. And I think that's what it's like for the offensive lineman.
Oh, all right. Well, can you explain the origins? And we've heard a lot about this RVO. I had to look that up. You did that at Baylor, correct? And then what does that all mean? And what is that something, after you kind of take a look at the personnel, something that you hope to bring here?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I think certainly the mentality that comes with that. Yes. It was really just an acronym that we used. It was a play on words but as opposed to RPO, which we did some RPO and we will, but everybody does RPO. It stood for reliable, violent offense. And my thing was, there are a lot of cool plays, a lot of ways to score points, and throwing RPOs is certainly part of that, but it's really not about the plays. It's about how you run the plays, and it's about your mentality. And if you can be reliable and you play with a violent, aggressive attitude, then you'll have the opportunity to win a lot of games. And really, to me, that's what's behind it all. It's toughness over tactics. It's will over skill. That's the starting point. And then you build the plays around that mentality.
And that's not just linemen, that's every position.
That's absolutely everybody. You know, how often you see a run break and then it gets tackled for a 15-yard gain because the backside receiver didn't do anything. That backside receiver, on the other hand, if he chases down the backside safety, he might spring that 15-yard gain for a 65-yard touchdown play. So it absolutely applies to everybody. You know, you'd hope your quarterback is one of the toughest guys on the team, and you would hope that your running backs run with a physical mentality. And yeah, certainly. It's about every position that straps that helmet on.
And everybody always wants to talk about quarterback. We saw quarterback, you know, injury this year. What are the big attributes you're looking for? And for me, I'm just curious, the mobility piece of it, that's huge in college football. What are you looking for when you're trying to find a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's huge in any football now. You know, there aren't many teams that are playing with guys back there who are stuck in one place. You know, that's not the way the game is going. And, you know, I've played with some guys who are more mobile or less mobile, but I think they've got to be able to get out of trouble and they've got to be able to present some form of run threat to the defense at some point. Some certainly more than others. But if you're not doing that, then I think you're giving one piece of the game to the defense. And so certainly we would like a guy that's got some athleticism, and that can mean a number of different things. But want a guy that's going to be tough, a guy that's going to be a really strong leader, and a guy that you're going to, I don't know, I hope that guy would be a guy that you feel when you watch him. You know, like you feel his passion for the game, you feel his energy, and I don't know. I just think when you watch a guy play the game that loves the game and loves his team, you kind of feel it.
What are you thinking passing-wise? Is it going to be, I know you're probably thinking everything, but vertical, and what are you looking for in the pass game?
I would say you probably see a little bit more play action, a little bit more vertical passing game maybe than what a number of teams in college would typically employ. And you know, I think that plays along with being a team that's going to be good at running the ball. And so, again, I think that's the thing that hopefully excites receivers about being in this game, because or in this style of offense, because every receiver wants to go deep, right? I mean, catching a slant and a hitch and all that kind of stuff is cool, but nothing's as cool as catching a go ball or a home run post.
Run game. gap scheme, zone scheme? Is it going to be a little bit of everything, or are you predominantly zone? What's your philosophy on that?
Yeah, I think it would be a little premature to answer that. I will say that over the last number of years, I've become a really big believer in wide zone and the ability that it gives you to run the football in all situations, whether it's fourth and one or third and eight. And so I know that will be a part of what we do, but I think gap schemes and, you know, pin and pull, all that stuff has been a part of what I've done. And, you know, how much we do will depend on the personnel and what those guys do best.
And what about your staff so far on the offensive side of it? Have you know most of the guys? Have you getting to know them? You know, Blas and Casey and that crew?
Didn't until they all showed up at my house the other night, which was pretty cool.
You put together a spread? Or
my wife fed them. My wife did feed them. Yeah, so that was fun. I think they enjoyed that. Yeah, but it seemed like a great group of guys. I get the feeling that they're guys who love ball and are really excited about this next chapter.
And before we let you go, just your excitement level about what this opportunity for you and to, you know, kind of moving this offense forward into the future, what do you have to say to fans about what to expect to see when we line up both in the spring and then next fall?
You know, I've just over the years, I've watched this team and seen the way that it's played and have just admired it from afar. And you know, there are a lot of places that I think you can go and probably have success doing any number of things on offense or defense and just sort of arbitrarily pick a system. And then there are some places where you go, yeah, that kind of fits that place, you know? And so when I started talking with guys about this job, immediately there was, I don't know, a sort of connection, a sort of fit down deep inside me that said, yeah, that's something I could get excited about. And so I think, you know, they'll be excited, fans, everybody, players, probably more than any, I hope, about playing a rugged style of football that's going to give us an opportunity to score a bunch of points and win a lot of games.
Well, we're excited. Looking forward to kind of seeing how this thing all unfolds. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
That is new Badgers offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes with radio analyst Mark Tauscher. And I believe we've got Mark on the phone. Mark, I assume the only reason you did this interview is because Matt LePay was busy with basketball. How'd you think it went?
That's true. Matt was busy, and then there were a couple other people that were busy. And so the tricky part of it was you understanding he's been there a day or two, but just wanted to get an understanding of the philosophy because I think fans with the air raid, and we mentioned air raid. I don't know if that made the clip. He didn't want to kind of put a yes, label on it.
He definitely did not want to put a label on it.
And that, I think, is, you know, the pro style, and I think what Wisconsin has been really good at in the past. I don't know how it's all going to shake out. I think you have to look at all the personnel, but you definitely sensed he's an O-lineman. You sensed that piece that it's going to be bringing back, or not to say it wasn't in the past, but that physicality and trying to really establish that being the key piece. And then everything else comes off of that. That was that. And then I also thought it was really interesting the fact that him and Luke, this isn't Luke hiring an old buddy of his or anything. Like, I thought that was interesting too. So there's a lot of things that I found interesting. The quarterback, everybody wants to know, is that going to be a portal? Are you going to go with young guys? We will see. And that will be the first, I think, obviously quarterback coach, but then who you bring in, or if you stick with the young guys, that's going to be the first big domino, in my opinion, to kind of see where we're at. But no, make no mistake about it. And I think this, again, nothing against Braden Locke, because he gave us everything he had. You have to be, I think, mobile and have to put pressure on defenses. Too many times this year, defensive ends and outside linebackers crashed down, and we didn't have any options to beat that defense, and that puts a lot of pressure on your run game. You can block everything up great. There's going to be an unblocked guy, and if you don't have a threat to at least force that edge player to play contain, it makes running the football that much more difficult.
Well, we appreciate you, Mark, sharing your interview with Coach Grimes
with our show. I have to say, man, I love your guys' show, and I think that your sub thing, I was listening earlier because I knew I was jumping on. Jeez. Your sub plan, what a genius. Whoever your host, what a genius. What a
whoever
great idea.
Whoever your host
especially
is, I thought you were a regular
December,
listener.
December to remember. What a great idea.
Okay, well, it's great to have Badgers radio analyst Mark Tauscher join us. It's almost as
well,
if
thought,
he
you know,
and
Jason,
Tausch share the same brain.
I thought Tausch asked some.
No,
really
that's
concise...
Mark. You're Tausch. Come on, if you're gonna play along.
What did I say? Yeah, I'm Tausch. Concise questions, got a couple laughs, and what I loved.
Oh,
analogy.
Did you get a couple laughs?
Danny, I got two or three laughs.
Courtesy.
At least one. At least you think those are courtesy laughs? Jesse is just against me on everything, and that's okay.
Yeah, look, I want to get to Packers at some point during the show, so let me just put a bow on this.
Yes.
I thought it was a really good interview. You were concise. You asked all the things that I would want to know. Now, the person that I would really like Badgers radio analyst Mark Tauscher to talk to, or maybe he could join Wilde and Tausch at some point, I want to ask about the process from Coach Fickell's perspective.
Okay.
Because what he has done now in back-to-back offensive coordinator hires is hire someone he didn't know before, right? And he thought, and this is me being doing my job critiquing, he thought the air raid was a good idea. You know, I know that those two words now are should be beeped out on our show because of the way the air raid went in the 2 years that Phil Longo was here.
More like error raid, am I right?
It's not bad. Not bad. That was not Mark Tauscher, radio analyst, by the way, chiming in. But I would like to know, like, how this process went for him. Like, was he an admirer of what Lance Leipold and the Jayhawks were doing offensively? He's obviously paying attention to trends throughout college football. But I will say this. Listening to him talk and describe his offense as someone who wants to see the Badgers succeed, I think the most important thing in big boy college football right now is to make guys feel like they're going to have an opportunity to play at the next level. And if your offense is an NFL-style offense as opposed to some of the other things that are run throughout college football, if it's going to get me ready for playing in the NFL, whether I'm Tretch Kekahuna coming back with nothing to do with finances at all, just like
nope,
the
no
offense.
Money. Just that, yep.
Then I'm on board. So I'm eager to see more, but I do want to, I would love to have Luke Fickell on and learn more about his part of the process at some point. All right, I know that the Dwellers are restless. They want Packers talk, and they want it now. I understand this was unique, and we appreciate Tau sharing it with us and Badger football sharing it with us. It was a good interview. You did a. What do you always say? I'm doing patronizing you. It was really good.
Thanks, buddy.
Especially with someone you don't know. Like, hard to kind of get a real good vibe and a good chemistry going in an interview with someone you just met who, wait a minute, the only question I had quickly. All the coaches came over to his house. He's already got a house? He's got Eirik and the whole crew, Jesse's guys.
I guess
just
he must have talked to Tracy
Bruner. Let's get you in a house.
Or
you
Stacey
just got hired.
Stacy would have been
houses.
Even better.
Well, it could be Tracy or Stacy. They got a full flock of Bruners doing this stuff.
Anyway, welcome to Madison, Jeff Grimes.
Eirik, what a crew.
Really, rates are down. We will get to some Packers talk, and we will do it to kick off the 10 o'clock hour at 10:19 a.m. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.